Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I always find this time of year to be an exciting time where we're getting to renew many of us participating in an email class with Sherry, and the registration for the year-long retreat is just opening. And so we thought it would be fun. You know, last week we got to look a little bit with Rebecca at the kickoff event and the themes around that, and we thought it would be fun to have Ashwini on to get to talk about some of the inspiration for this year's theme and the background on some of what we can look forward to in this next year of practice. So welcome, Ashwini. Thanks for being with us for that.
Thanks, Jen. Always a pleasure. Can you hear me okay?
I can. And you, me?
Okay. Yes, loud and clear. Well, we are coming to after a snowstorm at the monastery, Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, incredibly beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I'm sure pictures to come in the newsletter.
So,
Ashwini, maybe we could start there with just looking at the inspiration for the theme and kind of the background on that.
Yes. So the theme for the year is making a change for good. And there were sort of, I just love how every year leads to the next year's theme, because whatever we're practicing on for a year sort of opens the door to what's next. And so, yes, last year's How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything really, really brought a process focus to our looking, right? Because all of the questions forced us not only to just look at how ego operates, but how authenticity operates, but it really, really helped us look at how you do anything is how you do everything, because everything is a process. And so where this year's theme emerged is, great, we actually know how we do everything. Then what?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And okay, so I have a lot of information about the how. Now what?
Right. Especially if you want to do it differently, or you want to do something different, or you want to make a choice not to do it that way, or how you do something is the karmic process of what leads to suffering, and you can lay out in great and glorious detail exactly how the suffering process works, and then what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that making a change for good arose from, once we've got a perspective on how suffering is created and maintained for me in the particulars, then how do I transcend it? Because that's a process also.
So really the insight of, okay, so we've got all this information about how, you know, you talked about both the how of how authenticity works as well as what egocentric karma conditioning self-hate, how that operates. You get a lot of information about that, such that maybe in detail you're able to really say, and then this happens for me, and that happens for me, and this, and that, and this. And then now, okay, I'd like to actually transcend that. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make this change or that change, or I'm ready for whatever it is. So looking at that next step, what comes next?
Yes. And the thing that, it's a very subtle point, but this is where I think that a year-long practice really helps all of us deepen our ability to look. Because there's one way of saying, I know my process, right? I could have a process of procrastination, or I have a process of feeling rejected, or I have a process of ha-ha. And you could actually, some of us have even process mapped it. But what we talk about process in practice is the process of suffering, and we have a very specific vocabulary that we use in order to describe that. But because we're so good at looking, we often miss the ability to be in awareness about the process of suffering, right? So I can tell you what is going on for me, but while it's going on for me, am I able to be aware that I am in the suffering process? Mm-hmm. Now, this is the reason we do a process map, right? Because we actually get down all of the voices. So if I hear a voice that says, you know, you shouldn't do that, or you always do that, or you're too tired, postpone it for later, I can tell you that that's a process of procrastination. But when that voice is happening in my head, do I come to awareness and not to go with it? And so part of what we're going to be focusing in on this year is to be able to do that, to be able to put the voices, the beliefs and assumptions, the tools that we use to describe the suffering process, to be articulated in a way that I can be in awareness when the process is going on, so I have a choice for presence while I'm in the process of suffering. So it's insufficient to know what my process is. The transcendence is being aware of it while I'm in it and making a different choice.
Wow, that's huge. That's really huge. Yeah, so it's that place of the image that keeps coming up, so I'll go with it just quickly, is the one that I often talk about from a story Sherry told of Jesus and the barcode, of being in a parking lot one day years ago and seeing a bumper sticker that was a barcode and thinking, oh, that's interesting to have a bumper sticker that's a barcode, and looking at it longer and seeing, oh, if you look at it in another way, it says Jesus. And I remember, from what I remember her describing, standing there and seeing, can I stand here and see simultaneously, not back and forth, but simultaneously, can I see both Jesus and the barcode? And I feel like that's a perfect description of what you're talking about, because, okay, so I'm in suffering, and I get, I'm in it, and here's what happens, and blah, 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 or I'm out of it. Oh, it's so nice. I'm out of it. I'm not in it. But what you're describing, I think, is while it's going on, can I have access to, metaphorically, Jesus? Can I have access to both places simultaneously?
Well, to use that metaphor, what is the place from which you can see Jesus and the barcode? Only
yes,
awareness.
Exactly.
Right?
And
so,
right.
So I can have attention on conditioned mind and be in conditioned mind. I can have attention on awareness and look at conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can have attention on awareness and, looking at conditioned mind, be aware that I'm in awareness. That's the place of transcendence, right?
Yes. And I feel like what's so exciting that I really have enjoyed in participating in the kickoff and listening to you talk about the theme is that I feel like there are places, I know for me, that I assume that I know what we're talking about, and that's not necessarily so. And that what I hear us saying is that we're going to have a year together. I mean, I think that's what everyone describes so much about the doing these year-longs, where every day of the week we're on the phone together for a half hour to start off our day, is that we get to explore through so many sets of eyes what it is that we're doing here. And I feel like what we're talking about is we're going to use the foundational tools of practice that have always been there, but to assist us to see how to do the how, in a sense, if you will. And I just feel like that's very, very exciting to get to question some of those assumptions of, I know, this is this and that's that and that's identification. But to get to really look at it at this deeper level seems a really amazing opportunity.
Yes, and Jen, we are going to use the framework of the 30-day retreat, but we've completely updated it. And what we've updated to is a set of steps that you can apply any content to. You can apply to any content, right? So if I'm describing my process of suffering, what we're going to do with 10, by the time we're done with this year, everybody will know what process is, because there's a way in which we can intuit what it is, but in the specifics of being able to transcend suffering, because I know what my what the process of suffering is, how do I describe that? How do I know that I'm in it? And then what do I choose instead? So there's a set of steps that we can walk through that we are trained in to see conditioned mind. And once we've seen conditioned mind, choose a behavior change that assists us to choose presence over conditioned mind when we're aware of it, and then train in that. Train in that compassionately, in that choice. So that's sort of what the retreat is about.
So that's really fun because it's that repetition that's the thing, at least for me, that really helps. So in other words, with each of the 10 months, there'll be a certain focus, but the process will be the same. So even though we'll get to explore all these different maybe aspects of our lives, we're always training in the same set of skills so that by the end of the year, we've got that really solidly in our tool belt.
And because how we do anything is how we do everything, what will get clearer and clearer and clearer with every piece of content is what our karmic process is. And, you know, there are, you can, at least for me, it's fun, right, to do this kind of thing, which is I have about 7 different ways I'm conditioned karmically to react. And I can classify what those are. And I know I can recognize them, and I know the nuances of them. And that's what we're trying to do, right, to know at any time when I'm identified so that I can stop being identified and do and get to presence from which I have a choice.
Yeah, oh, so brilliant.
And I'll say one last thing, Jen, before we go. Because there is a larger spiritual, so yes, we're doing awareness practice at one of the subtlest levels, and that's not meant to scare anybody, right? Because we'll do it with support, we'll do it with Sangha, and we'll do it wherever people are, whatever people are saying will contribute to the richness of the focus. So there's a skill, there's the sort of the awareness practice of it, but the spiritual significance of doing this is really what was written in the Musings article, right? That we're making a change for good, not from a place of self-improvement. That's how behavior changes are always characterized, but the assumption we start from is there's something that needs to be fixed. But if you make that assumption, then you're always coming from that non-dualistic orientation of there's enlightenment. I mean, dualistic orientation of there's enlightenment or non-enlightenment or good and bad and something wrong and something that has to be right. But to come from an assumption that your goodness is already established is a completely different place to start from. So when we bring attention to awareness, there's a way in which we are coming from the goodness is already established. That's the first movement I make. Mm-hmm. Not, oh, I'm flawed and I'm doing this something in order to be different. It's if my goodness is already established, then I'm looking from love where I can make a change, where I can make a change equivalent to not letting the suffering process have my attention, from which my experience of what animates this is goodness gets reinforced.
Well, that was really, really beautifully stated. Well, as you were saying that, I just thought, wow, that's such a poetry in it. Coming full circle, I think the first place that we started doing daily calls was in the Seeing Through the Eyes of Love theme. In fall of whatever that was, 2016. And that feels like what you're describing, is that ultimately what we're training in is not to make a change, not to fix something, but we're training to come from that place of love, which could be a synonym for the same kind of place we're standing in when we can see where we have to be to see Jesus and barcode at the same time.
Exactly. With the eyes of Jesus. Jesus and the barcode at the same time, right? It's really a lovely, it's really very deeply spiritual. It's that Meister Eckhart quote.
Yeah.
Not through the eyes, I always butcher it. Not the eyes through which God, go ahead, Jen.
Yeah, I think I would butcher it worse than you, Ashwini. The eyes with which God sees me, people can Google it to get the exact.
Yeah.
And the reason, I think it's important, the reason it's so important not to misquote it is that the way it's phrased is critically important. It's everything.
Yes.
That's just a fun process in itself. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. I'm just really, really looking forward to it. And so all of the information, I think, is on the website, and people can see that and look at. I realize I did not leave us any time for the logistics of it.
Well, this, if anyone participated in the show, it's exactly the same. Registration is open. All the information is available. You'll get daily assignments. There'll be a weekday radio show at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah, and I think what you said earlier was really important, too, that it does get deeper and deeper every year, but one of the things that's sort of magic, I think, about all of practice is that you truly can jump in anywhere, and especially I feel like with the theme we're talking about this year, because we're training in something very, very specific and we're going to be repeating it, certainly no one's going to be left behind, and there's no such thing as I don't have enough experience in order to participate in this.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's a year-long retreat. You can we offer installment payments. There should be no reason why anybody feels like compelled to sit it out.
Okay. Yeah. It's such a huge support. It just takes things to a whole other level. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen.
Okay.
Let's make a change for good.
Let's do it. All right. Thanks for being with us. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Ashwini. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
I was doing the good citizen muted thing. As I listened to the show, I needed to do that, right? Like you weren't already muting me, but yeah. So I had just asked you if you were ready to make a change for good.
I am very ready to make a change for good. I'm very excited about
me
that.
Too.
Fabulous.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super fun. And the quote that we all struggle with, I have a feeling Ashwini will be Googling it and texting it to us before very long, so we can rest assured. Anybody who doesn't have access to their looking up system, it'll be available before the show is over. I feel confident.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here, unless you want to.
No. No, I'm good.
Okay. As we just heard from Jen and Ashwini, our year-long retreat on making a change for good will offer training to be aware of attention on a conversation and conditioned mind. By applying this to content with which we suffer, finances, health, relationship, and so on, we'll learn to move from looking through conditioned mind to looking at conditioned mind. The retreat includes daily assignments and a weekday radio show with you, Sherry. And gain some helpful insight into family karma at a retreat with Sherry and Ashwini in North Carolina, April 15th through 20th. The retreat will include yoga, meditation, and guidance with Sherry. Step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th, at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. This retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. If you are already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. New group times will be added starting Friday, February 1st. For a full schedule of virtual groups, please visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that's about 5 minutes long is great.
So, Michael, before there was something in that write-up that I didn't expect, and so I wanted to correct it. That weekday call-in radio show is with Ashwini and me. And in fact, on occasion, filled in by Jen and Chris and who knows who else we might rope into that before the year is over. So just to be clear about that one.
Yes, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, you ready to talk with callers?
I am.
Okay, good. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jeff from South Dakota.
Hello,
hey, Jeff.
Hello, Sherry.
Got a little echo there.
Yeah, I'm just on a phone.
Okay.
You're still getting the echo?
Well, no, you know, technology, who knows? Who knows what goes on? I can hear you just fine.
Okay, I can hear you well. So, Sherry, I'm calling just to get some support. I don't know exactly which way to go with it, but, I'm in a tough part of my life right now with my wife has asked for separation, and I'll be leaving town here in about 2 weeks, and it's really hard because we've been married for like 32 years, and she's was always my best friend and helped me a lot with emotional struggles, and but it just has come to the point, I guess, where she's kind of tired of that, and there's also benefits for me too, the possibility of kind of proving that I can, you know, live on my own and not always lean on her and other issues. But anyway, it's just a lot of emotional kind of struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And and then sometimes.
Okay. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, sometimes I'm on top of it and I can see the benefits and the positives, and then other times I'm kind of discouraged and the voices are, you know, harping away. So.
Mm-hmm. And so those are the two states, right? Either the voices are haranguing at you or they're not.
Yeah. Yeah,
that really is what it comes down to, not just for you, but for all of us. When they're not harping at you, you're fine. And mm-hmm. in that space, you can see, this could be really good. I'm going to live my own life here. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to find out a lot about myself. I can do things that, you know, I can explore. I can experiment. I can, you know, I can stay up as late, you know, whatever, to eat whatever I want. I don't have to consult another human being. I can break mm-hmm. all kinds of old habits. You know, I can see the opportunity in this. Great. And then here come the voices, and you're miserable. And to me, Jeff, the really critical piece to see in this is mm-hmm. that it has nothing to do with the circumstances. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be anything, and I'd be torturing myself over it, and then conditioning would be torturing me.
That's right. It could be anything, and those same voices would be running the exact same scam, whatever it is. And I can promise you, everybody listening to this will be, if you know, they'd be nodding, or the equivalent of, because that's just how it is. So if this is where we say, God forbid, if your wife died, it would be the same thing. If you got sick, it would be the same thing. If you lost all your money, it would be the same thing. If your house burned down, it would be the same thing. Any life circumstances, those voices are going to do the same thing. Yeah. It's critical to get that. It's critical to get that. You know, if they suddenly started speaking in Russian or Swahili, it would catch your attention that this is weird. This is a thing. Something is happening here. But because they know how to talk in terms of something that you will go along with, that you'll believe, that you'll engage with and fall for and suffer over, it doesn't catch our attention. We just identify with it, go right down the tubes, and get miserable.
Yes, yeah, you're right. And the conditioning knows like which buttons to push and which fears to bring up.
And then they beat you up for having fallen for their stuff.
That's
about
great.
The time you disidentify, they come in with, oh, my God, this is hopeless. You know, you're never going to get it. How long have you been doing this stuff? And you still, you just go to the same place. What's the matter with you? So what is the way out, Jeff?
Well, it's always get back to center and not believe those voices.
That's right. And it's even more fundamental than that at this point, right? It's don't give them any attention. If you give them attention, you will eventually believe them. And they know that.
Yes.
I mean, that system knows that. If they can keep bringing attention back to, oh, my God, what are you going to do? You're never going to make it. This is horrible. You're not going to survive. You can't do this. This is awful. Oh, my God, your life is over. This is going to be horrible. Sooner or later, you will go with them.
Yeah.
So if you're an alcoholic and you quit and you wanted to keep quitting, the thing you know is you can't take a drink. Because if you take one, you'll take two, and then you'll take three. And then
that's a very good analogy.
Yeah.
That's a very good analogy because the voice will get so loud and persistent and intrusive that I'll start to listen to them a little, and then
that's right.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it. It's like
right.
the first drink for a drunk.
That's right. That's right. And that in fact is what they do to an alcoholic. Just ratchet it up until, oh my God, I've got to have a drink to shut these voices up. Yeah. So realizing that, we want to really take advantage of the tools that we have. Right? You have a recording
Absolutely.
And listening practice. Yeah.
Yes.
And so at the first sign of those voices heading you down that road, you pop those earbuds in and you start listening. You can start talking. Okay? Mm-hmm. What I want to focus on is the opportunity that this is. You know, I've had a lot of great years with my wife. She's ready for something different. This is a good opportunity for me. I am no doubt ready for something different too. And these are the things that I'd like to focus on. This is what I'd like to explore. This is what I'd like to do with the, okay? You make those recordings, you listen to those recordings, you make those recordings, you listen to those recordings, and you don't do anything else.
That's good. It needs a big commitment of time and energy on that. I am doing it, but it needs more.
Oh, it needs more, because as you've noticed, they're at you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah. As soon as you get a little breath of fresh air, a little sunshine, a little anything going on in your life, there they are, ready to get up, right? And mm-hmm. so you have to, if they're at you 24 hours a day, you've got to be at them 24 hours and 1 minute.
Yeah. And,
thank God they can't be at you 24 hours a day. Although they're there, there's always that potential. But there are usually breaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you take advantage of those breaks to focus on how you want your life to be. And then when they start at you, you really ramp it up.
Okay.
So alcoholic.
Yeah.
Just quickly back to that alcoholic analogy. If you just stopped drinking, you would be at meetings all day long, every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the level of support you would need. You'd have a sponsor. You'd have people you call. You have a group of people supporting you all the time. Because what everybody knows is you can't do it alone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have that mentor with you all the time. Get the earbuds in when you sleep. Listen to recordings all night long so that when you wake up in the night or in your dreams, you're hearing those same messages of support.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sherry.
You are so welcome anytime. You can do this.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care. Good
Bye.
Night.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jeff. And Sherry, I was appreciating the commitment that we need to match conditioning's commitment to suffering. We just
yes.
need to show up in the same way that it does.
Yes. Yeah. And mm-hmm. in that way, it is a tremendous support for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we have to keep showing up. And if it weren't at us all the time, we wouldn't show up. So in the email class that I'm doing right now, one of the things that it's not a constant theme, but I bet it's going to be before it's over, is the trap that people get into with ego is, so I'm suffering, and so I know if I practice, I won't suffer. So I just practice like crazy, and then I'm really not suffering. I'm focused on here. I'm grateful. I'm happy. And so I stopped practicing. And then I slide right back down into that suffering place. And then when I hit that bottom again, I go, oh, I got to start practicing. And people will spend a lifetime just in that place. And there's so much more available to us. We don't have to just so with somebody I was comparing it to being in debt. You know, you're in debt and you work really hard and you save and you get out of debt and then you immediately go into debt again. And then you work really hard what would happen if you didn't just go into debt again? What if you stayed in that place of, okay, well, let's get into a better and better and better place financially? What would that be like? You know, gosh, we could go on vacations. We could, because we
right.
we have, right? Because we have the wherewithal to do that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we
Great.
Could go on vacations without throwing ourselves into debtor's prison. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And we have another call here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Melissa.
Hey, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey. So I just was really struck by how similar what the last person was talking about, which is, you know, feels like really big life content, and that it's totally exactly the same as what I'm doing sitting here in this tiny, tiny, tiny content of doing cue practice.
Aha. Oh, very good. Yes, the content is dramatically different. The process is exactly the same.
Yeah, because it's really just moment by moment by moment, keeping my attention on the call and on what's happening. And the minute that my attention goes to the story, then there's the suffering. And it's just, it's that simple. It's that immediate.
Yeah, because those are the only two states, aren't they? Suffering and not suffering.
They really are. And so, you know, when I feel that attention get pulled, it's like I just go to, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And and just kind of repeating that and making that the reality, that's what's true. It is true. I am okay.
Yes. Yes, that is the reality, isn't it? That is the critical thing to see. Because, and if we go back to the previous caller, the reality is I'm okay. There actually isn't anything wrong right now. The only thing that makes anything seem wrong is when I get pulled into that conversation.
Yes. 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 And so,
huge.
You know, it's just so helpful to practice with these tiny, tiny places so that, you know, can really get it, that it is this simple. It's hard to remember when the content is so big.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why I was going to give an example, but it's such a grisly example. I don't want to do it. But if you were something like a police officer or a firefighter or, you know, that sort of thing, or in the military, you would train and 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 train under completely non-threatening circumstances so that when you were in a threatening circumstance, you would not go to conditioned mind. You would just simply respond in the present.
Right. It's almost like, you know, like building a reflex.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like building the muscle memory.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you were a juggler, there's the period of time where you're looking to conditioned mind to know how to juggle, which means you're dropping everything all the time, right? And the trick of it is to learn not to go there, but to let in the moment everything do what everything knows how to do without the self-conscious interference of ego second guessing.
Yes, I totally have that experience with you know, the tiny little bit that I play the piano. You know, when you get that, those hands, you know, like when it's like the bottom hands, like repeating a chord over and over again while the top hand is doing something. And if you stop to think about it, it's suddenly hard.
Well, I would bet you're suddenly not doing it.
Yes.
Because right? it's only that split second shift of attention, which is such a perfect example of the why multitasking doesn't work, right? Because all you have to do is shift attention for just a moment to what, and you're gone.
Yes, I've been having that experience with driving, because I've been having some challenges with my vision, and I don't have that window to shift my attention anymore. Like, I really have to keep my attention where it needs to be. And it's really great training.
If you don't allow a story that says, "Oh no, this is awful. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get to the point that you can't drive anymore? What's going to happen to your life then?"
Oh, Which Siri, I haven't heard that story.
It'll think of it. Yeah. But,
well, this is
right.
We
can see how it would go there, which is the equivalent of what Jeff was just talking about. Let's just make up something out there in the future and present it as if it's something valid that you need to be concerned about in this moment where nothing like that is happening. And of course, with the driving thing and the vision thing, you know, a person can be pulled off into that sort of noodling and get into real trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is what you're noticing. There isn't the luxury to just drift off with conditioned mind. You really have to be paying attention.
We
do all the time. It is pure illusion delusion that there is a moment in life that we can indulge just wandering off into conditioned mind. It's always life and death. It's always dangerous.
Yeah, I got to learn that pretty well last year when I, it only took a split second and suddenly I had a broken ankle.
Our whole world can change. And then I bet in that case, you had a real opportunity to either go down the road of, well, this is interesting. This is going to be new and revelatory. Or, oh, no, this is a tragedy. You must be incredibly miserable over this.
Yeah, I think I got to experience both of them. Yeah,
a little of both. Little,
mm-hmm.
But again, to me, the important thing to see is when you're in the, this is interesting, as we can be with every moment of life, there are no problems. But as soon as those voices kick in and we get caught up in a story about there's something wrong with this, this is not okay, this is bad, then we're suffering.
It's so true. I mean, I have suffered for years over making this call and being told that being on the show would be really scary and that I would be really nervous and afraid, and I'm actually having a
great
time.
It would go badly. right. Yeah, they lie. Well, and it's really helpful once we catch on to, and they can catch on to this game too, but we can get a lot of mileage out of just do the opposite of anything they say. Because they're a program, and they're a no program. They're a negativity program. So if we want to know what decision to make or what to do, well, the opposite of what those voices are saying, that's probably the best place to look.
Mm. Yeah. So simple.
Yeah. Well, thank you for this.
Thank you. It's been really a delight.
It's very
thank
fun.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Take good care,
gotcha.
Melissa. Good night.
You too. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. And Sherry, great to see that the process is always the same, whether the content is, quote, big or, quote, small or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why we're always encouraged to practice with little things. Again, somebody in the email class was talking about catching on to, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. And starting to get it that, wait a minute, that's not me. You know, those that comes up and those decisions are made before I really have a chance to weigh in on it. And then seeing all the little tiny things all day long that I don't want to. And then going, actually, I'm not going to go with that.
Right.
Little tiny things. And then we're preparing ourselves for when things are big, and it's going to be really dangerous, if not disastrous, for us to go with that voice in the head. If we've learned that that's not what we want to listen to and that's not what we want to go with, we're way ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ramita in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hello, Ramita.
Hello, Sherry. Hi, Michael. I have had a fabulous day, Sherry. It's been a practice success, and I want to celebrate.
Oh, yay. Tell us more. Tell us more.
Well, I, as you know, I'm practicing being retired, and I'm doing it really well. But one of the things that occurred to me today was to, well, actually occurred to me last week, and I scheduled today as a Sabbath.
Oh, lovely. Boy, don't those make life worth living. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's been basically what I've done is say, okay, no screen time, no TV, no computer, no email, no texting. You know, I've answered a phone calls. But and it's amazing, you know, the conversations already this evening, what attention has done. So I've taken attention away from, you know, that black hole of technology. And, oh, my gosh, it's on the trees. I never realized how many trees there are in our neighborhood. And all of this, all of this opening.
That's, yeah, that's just wonderful. In our neighborhood. I mean, that really shows us what we're up against, right?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, things have been wide open, and partly because of the email class as well, I've had a big letting go regarding not just a story that I used as the launching point for the email class, but how story is operating, and do I put my attention there or not?
Uh-huh. So recognizing a big story, and through that, getting clearer about story, period?
Yeah, like the process of how conditioning steals attention. And it occurred to me at one point today when someone else's behavior started that same story going, I realized, wait a second, nobody and nothing can steal my attention without my permission. Now, it's not always been true.
Well, that's just so big.
right? If the quality of our life is determined by the focus of our attention, the thought that we would not, would we say husband that? Would that be the, that we would not, what's a good word for that? You know, guard it with your life.
With that will. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, we'd want to guard it with our lives, right?
Yes.
It's everything. My whole life is dependent upon that faculty. Do I just want it to wander around on its own and other people to be in charge of it and pulled willy-nilly here and there if the quality of my life is determined by that? That's so big.
Exactly. And getting a feeling of that knack. You know, you were talking, I guess Ashwini and Jen talking on Good News about, you know, doing this process over and over so we get to see the story, recognize mm-hmm. those components that we're used to practicing with, and be say, ha, oh, that's what's operating. No, I don't. I choose not to do that. I choose not mm-hmm. to give that my attention. I know mm-hmm. that what that is, and it's like plugging a leak.
Yes, exactly. And I know you know something about leaky boats, right? So the importance of not having leaks. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just been a wonderful day. Got to the edge of fear. You know, when conditioning sees that, she's catching on.
That fear comes up, that anxiety. And you think, oh, well, is there something wrong here? Ego's really nervous. That's not wrong.
I should watch what she's doing when she's not paying attention to me.
Get that attention back on me where it belongs, says ego.
Yeah, that's self-awareness, that self-consciousness, not self-awareness, self-consciousness mm-hmm. is absent, and then it creeps in again here and there. Anyway, it's been a fabulous day, and I promised myself that I would call into the radio show tonight to cap off a really good day of having my attention where I want it.
Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something else before you go, okay? I have not read this book, but and I don't think, I'm not saying you need to read it or I need to read it. I just want to tell you what it's about. Ashwini was telling me about it. Because she read it, so she could read it for us and anybody else who, you know, wants to follow along. And the book is by a woman who got all these different experts in various fields to walk around the same block with her.
Huh.
And they were focused on their deal and
their world.
And so they would point out their world to her, which, of course, she would never see. And so what occurred to me when you were talking about all the trees in the neighborhood, I thought, to go on the same walk every day, and today I'm going to pay attention to everything green. Today I'm going to notice everything small. Today, I'm going to listen for birds. Today, I'm going to find everything blue. Do you know? Be with attention in that way. I'm watching attention. I'm aware of attention. And I this sounded like fun. I want to do it. Maybe you want to do it. I don't know. But I know I want to do it.
Yes, I think this would be a great, great conversation or even walk down the street together and point out this is what I see and this is what I see, which I guess when you have that awareness framework, that's what's going on all the time. Each of us have a unique lens. And
We can expand it, right? So today, of course, I don't live in a neighborhood, so I'm guessing you live in a neighborhood with houses as well as trees. And, you know, today I'm going to notice the trim on all the houses. Today I'm going to notice the roof lines. Today I'm going to notice the colors of the cars. You know, whatever it is that it gives me an assignment so that attention isn't just wandering off, but I'm really
right.
with attention.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's being trained. And yeah.
And I'm being trained to be with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're attuning. Yeah.
Yeah, awareness. Awareness has the curriculum and is presenting the content, and
mm-hmm.
it helps me choose, you know, here's where to focus today. We're focusing on English versus focusing on geography versus,
I like it.
We may have to get the name of that book.
Or
I'll practice it.
I mean, she had her experience, you know, the author, but we can have ours now that we've got her idea.
Thank you
all
so
right.
much, Sherry.
Thank you, Ramita. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ramita. And Sherry, just at the end there, I always love that analogy of training. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just training. I show up to practice
mm-hmm.
and give it
mm-hmm.
my all, and the skill grows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It becomes a habit. It's retraining.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes.
Yeah. So, Michael, as I predicted,
yes.
I have a quote for us.
Oh, great.
Yeah. The eye through which I see God is the same eye through which God sees me. My eye and mm-hmm. God's eye are one eye, one seeing, one knowing, one love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there we are with
great.
That. Yeah.
Yes. Great.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy from BC.
Hey, Nancy.
Nancy from DC or VC?
Oh, DC.
DC, all right.
Yeah. I have a question about redirecting the attention.
Mm-hmm.
So directing the attention to the breath, especially
mm-hmm.
If there's very sticky content where it's mm-hmm. very easy to get carried away, is
mm-hmm.
Is it better to direct the attention to the breath, like in the belly? Because I just heard somebody else giving a talk about redirecting your attention to the breath, like by the nostrils. And I was just curious why, like the distinction, or if you recommend one over the other.
Well, there are a couple of things about that. One, I think the nostrils are really close to conditioned mind. So, you know, people get in a lot of trouble because the attention tends to go between the eyes and the inside of the head, which you may have noticed. So, you look around, there's a check-in for what's going on, and then attention goes right back inside the head,
uh-huh.
back to that sticky content, right, where it wants to, it has a habit of being. And then we drag it out of there and check in with where we are, and then poof, it goes right back there. So going to the nostrils seems close to me. And so for me, it's more helpful. I don't know how long you've been doing this, but oftentimes people discover that they really can't do more than one breath, and then they're gone again. Are you able to stay for longer than one breath, or is that about... Right.
It depends. Sometimes it's one, sometimes not even one, sometimes more.
yeah, exactly so. Right. And so that's why, actually, I mean, yes, coming to the body, coming to the breath, if you can, we do this little exercise of coming to your senses. And so you would come to turn the attention to the breath and expand the awareness to feel where your feet are, and if there's anything like warmth or cold or that sort of thing, and then what are you seeing, what are you hearing, what are you smelling, what are you tasting, like that. And if you could run through that little checklist that gives you a little bit longer time, a little bit longer break in the sticky content attention grabbing. So that can be helpful. It can be really helpful to practice something like whenever you walk, you're aware of your breath, but mostly you're aware of your feet on the ground. So it's kind of like a form of walking meditation. You can count your breath when you do that, which can be really helpful. And it's, you know, the same 1 to 10 that we do in sitting practice, but it's again, something for attention to focus on rather than just following that habit of going to conditioned mind. Because that's
so you wouldn't
habit.
Just, like, focus on the belly, for example, just...
Well, you could. I think, again, because it's so hard to keep the attention somewhere, that if you were to follow the breath as your belly expands, you know, you breathe down into your belly, feel your belly expand, and then feel your belly kind of collapse as the breath goes out, and bring in these other elements, again, you're just extending the break where attention is compelled to go back up into conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
And of course...
So when you said coming back to your senses, so you'd be like scanning the body for like sensations, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Well, or just what am I seeing? So, you know, I'm looking out now and it's evening where I am. So there's gray, the sky is now gray, and the shape of the trees against the gray. What am I hearing? Well, you know, the sound of my voice and then you. What am I feeling? I can check in and I'm sitting down, so I can, you know, feel my body touching all of the places that it's being supported, like that. And so just kind of a checking in to bring yourself, again, the whole point is out of conditioned mind and into this here now. What's actually happening right now, not an imaginary world in conditioned mind. And, of course, the one... I don't know how well you know our practice, but the one that I am most supportive of is recording and listening. So if there's sticky content and you find yourself being just pulled into it, you can make a recording that does basically what we just talked about. You know, a recording that says, okay, now I'm turning my attention to where my feet are, feeling my feet on the ground. Now I'm turning my attention to the breath in the body, feeling the breath enter the body. And then the body is filled with breath, and then the breath is leaving the body. And I can hear, and now I'm turning my attention to what I'm seeing. And so it's like a guided imagery that you listen to and you follow. And this is, again, a break in that of conditioned mind, and it's training you. You're training yourself to come back here instead of to go up into conditioned mind.
Okay.
Let me know, okay?
Thank you. And I want to say thanks for talking about this, like the voice of ego and conditioning. That really helped. I made the mistake when I was talking to some people. I just mentioned, oh, yeah, and then the voice in my head, and they all, like, freaked out. They're like, oh, my God, should we call a mental hospital?
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, and that didn't bother me.
I'm like, no, I mean, like, conditioning. So I realized it's not a good idea to say it to some people.
That's right. You do have to be careful because most people are so heavily conditioned, they have no idea how they work. They have no idea that all what they hear inside their head, they're hearing it.
I know.
They're thinking it. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of alarming, isn't it? And for me, it's kind of comforting because, you know, when you look around at some of the stuff that happens in the world, you think, okay, well, that actually makes sense because there was nobody there at the time. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, and not in a judgmental way, but just in a way that really helps us have compassion for ourselves and everybody else. Yeah, I mean, we, you know, we get so I'll just say, but there are a lot of people with me in this. I get so used to this orientation to life, seeing how the world works like this, that I forget that it would sound nuts to almost everybody. It just sounds crazy. And yet, as soon as somebody starts paying attention, they realize. And, of course, the thing that brings most people to that willingness to pay attention is something really bad that happens in their lives.
Yep.
And then they'll get into that kind of place that we were talking about with the first caller where, you know, the voices are just after them and shredding them. And it's like, God, what is going on here? You know, it's very clear that I'm not doing that. This is something out of control in my head that's doing this to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. All right. Well, thank you, my dear. Keep in touch.
Will do.
All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn. And Sherry, we are right on the precipice here. It's 3 minutes to the hour. Didn't know if you wanted to take another caller or shall we
you
say
know, let's
adieu?
Not, Michael. Let's say adieu and meet up again as soon as we possibly can. How about that?
Wonderful. That sounds
all
fabulous.
Right. All
thank
right.
You, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Michael. All right. Take care. Good night.
Good night.